Jacks and Start Daddy Show. Welcome to the Relaxed Back with my dad, John Gifford. Hit it, Dad!
Smart moves.
Absolutely. So we're going back to that one stretch, sitting in a chair. That seated hip stretch is definitely one of the most requested movements that I get from my clients.
Get schooled.
And one of the amazing things is many people aren't aware that according to many studies, there are just as many people with herniated discs who have no pain as those who do. You know, that's one thing.
Take it inside.
Exactly. And what a lot of people aren't aware of is that they think they're tense because of a feeling, and usually it's the resistance to the existence of that feeling that makes them tense. And that's important because tension increases muscular pain.
It's all here, right now.
You know, I agree. I mean, maybe talking about pain and tension isn't always exciting, but here's the question. You know, if you wear out your body, where are you going to live? I mean, that's the kind of question we're starting to look at. Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of The Relaxed Back. I am John Gifford, your host, and this is actually show number 3. And this is kind of interesting. This is the first time now we're actually going to bring in one of my clients. His name is Jim, and we've worked together for a period of time, and we always have really good conversations on the table. And last week we were talking about stress, and I thought, you know what, rather than just talking about it there, let's share this with other people and see if they get anything out of it. Jim, why don't you tell us briefly about, well, first of all, where you started with your pain. How did that whole thing begin with you?
Okay, it started about a year ago. I had finished a workout and I was doing my stretching, and I felt something pop in my back. My back basically locked up. I spent the next 2 days where I couldn't even move. Ended up in an emergency room. Had to get some pain medication just to get through the pain. Couldn't walk for about 7 or 8 days. Couldn't even get off the couch. Progressed from there, went to finally see the doctor, got some muscle relaxers, some medication, went through physical therapy.
How long did you go through the physical therapy for?
About 3 months.
Was it like a typical 3 times a week schedule?
Yeah,
yep,
about 3 times a week. And I was, you know, I was going through all the regular stuff with physical therapy and wasn't making tremendous gains. And then I was referred to John by a mutual friend of mine.
Hey, that's me.
Yeah.
I'm John. Hey, did you have a foot drop at the time?
Yeah, I was experiencing foot drop.
Okay. And did they do an MRI?
I had MRI in either a CAT scan or something. I had about 3 tests and they had determined that I have no structural damage to the vertebrae or anything like that. It was all muscular. They had ruled everything out with an MRI, I think an ultrasound, and maybe a CAT scan. They ruled out structural damage. Muscle.
Were they confused at all that you had foot drop, but they couldn't find a structural reason for it? Or did they just say that could be muscles? What did they say about that?
The physical therapist, it was almost like he gave up on me in the end. That, yeah, he was like dumbfounded as to why I wasn't getting better with the treatments that he was giving me. I mean, I had modest improvements, but at the end he wanted to refer me to another physical therapist to see if he could figure out what was going on. And at that point, I decided to come see you based on a recommendation from a friend.
That's right. That's right.
And I didn't go see the second physical therapist. Mm-hmm. And then you prescribed a much different path. You know, this physical therapist was saying, rest, rest, rest. You know, don't work out, don't strain. And then I got on the internet and I was doing some research of my own and reading
really
some articles.
Cool.
And
the opposite, wasn't it?
The research on the internet and the articles said that a common mistake that is made by physical therapists when they don't see improvement in lower back pain is they've found the physical therapist did not combine any type of physical activity or exercise with the program. And that's exactly what they did to me. They told me just the opposite. Don't exercise, rest.
It's really interesting, you know, that whole process is of rest is become somewhat old think. And, you know, so often someone will come in and they'll say, you know, I stopped golfing a year ago and then I asked them, so how are you doing? They say, well, you know what, I still have the same pain that I did. So what was the benefit from stopping golf? You have to be very careful about cutting out activities, because it's possible that maybe that you're not worse because of those activities, and you're losing a lot of the muscle nourishment that it gets from the contraction, the stress-relieving, tension-relieving properties of exercise. So sometimes you get these people who have every year they've stopped doing more and more for fear that they're going to make it worse. And in fact, you know what we'll do on the at therelaxedback.com, where we have the links to anything we talk about in the show. I think people would be very interested to read the latest, I think it was 6 or 8 months ago, from the Journal of American Medical Association, who really published some very interesting data that resting, in many cases, whether you go through a surgical route or you just keep working through the pain with some of these sciatic issues, there really isn't much difference at 6 to 9 months. My memory's a little blank on how that whole thing, what that study is, but I'll put the link up there and people can read it or download it for themselves. But so even you in your own research found out that what you were being told wasn't jiving with what you were finding on the internet.
Correct. Yeah. They said that, you know, you should exercise at a level that feels comfortable. You know, you should listen to your body.
Right.
And start slow.
Right.
But walking is typically good.
Right. Yeah, that's right. And when you came in, I remember when I first put you on the table and we started doing some myotherapy with you, that some of that deep pressure work to those trigger points, those hard areas in muscle tissue. It was your glutes, your piriformis, those deep hip rotators were really, really tight.
Correct.
And then the hamstring was too, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And you saw, I don't want to put words in your mouth, and you're not certainly being paid for this discussion.
I'm not.
Wait a minute.
Turn the mic off.
We're done. The show's done. Jim's not getting paid. But when we, pretty early on, within a couple sessions, you felt, I think, well, how did you feel?
Yeah, I saw some immediate relief.
Yeah.
From the trigger point work and working the knots out of my muscles. Mm-hmm. And then I started walking based on your recommendation. So, you know, the walking combined with the sessions, yeah. I saw immediate relief in the first couple of weeks.
And then we showed you some stretches.
And then stretching. Stretching was huge. You showed me some stretches.
Right. And it was interesting. We could really talk about Jim's story is so common to so many people I see, and very common in this aspect, which was that what you started to see happen was you were starting to feel better, and you get these waves of feeling better, pain coming back, you'd feel better, and then it kept coming back, and initially, you would always come in saying, you know what, I must have stepped wrong on the treadmill. I must have lifted something the wrong way. That's what brought it back. And initially, we kept thinking about what were you doing physically to aggravate it. But as time went on, we started introducing the possibility that stress or tension may be a factor. And that was when I suggested you that the book by, I think, John Sarno, right?
Correct.
Right? And you found some information there that made sense to you.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. There's a lot of information there that makes sense.
It does. That's a whole.
Once
different.
You read the book, I firmly believe that that the tension, the stress or the tension, has been the cause of all my problems.
It's interesting because you know, some people just aren't open to that at all. They just can't believe that stress and tension can cause real pain. We believe that if you say something embarrassing, you could make me blush. That's a physical reaction. But we talk about blood flow with muscle pain, because muscle pain, to the extent we know it, which we were just talking about before we started this interview, muscle pain, for the most part, if there's no other pathology going on, is a situation called anoxia, where there's not enough oxygen in muscle tissue. And if muscles can't breathe, they hurt. And if you choke off oxygen to a low enough level, then muscles are more predisposed to spasm. And the area that we probably all have experience with that is calf cramps at night. And the calf muscles are furthest from the heart, and those are the muscles that are first going to receive the lowest levels of oxygen. Now, Jim is interesting in that when we talked about, and I think the key thing, at least I have a feeling, because Jim has so much to talk about, and his case I think is very interesting and also applies to so many people. But what we're going to focus on today is about the stress component. And last week, it had been a while since I had seen you, and you said you were doing really well, and then you started to notice some of the pain was starting to
come back. Yeah, right. Yep.
And I just asked him, you know, what had been going on, you know, how's he been doing within himself in between the years, and he said, well, we need to talk about that. He says, well, what is it that you say about stress? And first of all, it's not so much what I say, but what you can read out there is that many professionals in the psychological field believe that fear is really stress. You know, so often, one of the frustrating things is that so many people, they'll come in, they'll say, well, you know, I just have to reduce stress. What does that mean? What does stress mean? If we just keep saying over and again, I'm stressed, I'm stressed, I'm stressed, it doesn't lead us to a lot of that introspection to even know ourselves anymore. But if we look further and see that it's pretty hard to be stressed unless we're scared, then that brings on a whole nother feeling, because I think as humans, I don't think we want to admit that we're scared. Don't you think?
Yeah, I think.
Do you think?
After you said that, and it kind of jogged my memory of all the conversations we had, in that it makes a lot of sense that when you really use the generic term stress, but what does that mean?
Yeah,
it doesn't really mean a whole lot, but when you start to really think about it, what causes the stress, or, you know, it's really, it seems to me, for me anyways, it makes a lot of sense that you start looking at it, and it's fear. It's maybe you've got a lot on your plate, and maybe you're afraid that you can't get it all done, or maybe you're afraid you're going to fall behind, or maybe you're afraid of whatever, but it seems like fear, it makes a lot of sense to me that fear does create the, you know, so-called stress.
Right, because it's hard to think of too many instances where we would feel stressed if we weren't scared of something. And even now in an issue where Jim has, where he can get, where initially he would kind of get caught up in this, is he would come in and after we talked about this, he'd say, well, he says, I'm getting this under control. He says, I know that I'm fearful, but I know I shouldn't be worrying about it and I shouldn't be scared. I've analyzed it out. And even if this deal does go bad, I'm going to be okay. So there's no reason I should be scared. Which created a whole other level of tension, didn't it?
Right. Yeah.
Because one of the hardest things, and if John Sarno and Mark Sofer and many of these individuals, Dr. Schechter out of California, if a lot of these people are right about this tension myositis syndrome or distraction pain syndromes, it really doesn't seem to be about changing what we feel. It seems to be more about just being able to acknowledge what we're feeling. Because when we try to start changing, it seems like from some of the writings out there, it seems like that actually increases tension. Anytime we try to, and you can try this yourself, if you try not to think about the color red, it takes great tension to constantly try not to think about it. And so often, you know, every once in a while I'll have someone come in and they'll say, well, I'm not going to focus on my anger. That would just be dwelling on it all the time. So I'm not going to dwell on it. And I always say, you know, here's a little tip. Trying not to dwell is dwelling.
right.
And you had told a story when you came in today about someone in your family who had pain their whole lives, a cousin who had pain their whole lives, but was also known as someone who never complained. And it was interesting, I thought your comment was how admirable was that she never complained. Because in a way, you could say it was admirable, but there, for me, a part of it was, well, isn't she allowed to complain? Because it makes you wonder, why wouldn't someone complain from time to time who was having a lot of pain. Now, it's possible that it wasn't a stress for her, that maybe that was just who she was. But sometimes people will say, well, I shouldn't have a right to complain about my pain because there are people who have it much worse than I do. I should get over this. These fears aren't legitimate because, quite honestly, if this deal goes bad, I'm still going to be okay. So I shouldn't really be worrying about this. Constantly just denying the existence as, well, here it is, and I guess I am scared. I wish I wasn't. And like you said a little bit ago, I don't know if this was on air or not, but you were saying that, well, maybe I'm always going to be worried about these things. Maybe I will. Might not. But trying to talk yourself out of it or tell yourself you shouldn't be feeling it. You know, there's an old saying in Zen that says, every time you deny reality, you're wrong 100% of the time. It's like, because sometimes we get this belief, if I keep telling myself I'm not scared, then I'm not. If I keep telling myself I'm not angry, I'm really not angry. But chances are, what you've done is you've created another level of tension by trying to deny something that's there. But it seems like that's, I don't want to put words in your mouth, it sounds like, though, by being able to start to see that, it seems like your relationship to those emotions has changed, and it's changed your tension levels. Is that true or is that not true?
It helps to analyze. It helps to view the stress as just simply not stress, but as fear, and then you can analyze what your fears are, and then like you said, it helps, or research has shown that just acknowledging that you have, that those fears exist, not saying I shouldn't be scared, but just acknowledging that those fears exist, mm-hmm. sometimes is enough to help some of the pain or all of the pain go away. Just right. Simply acknowledging that it's okay to be scared. It's okay to have fears. It's okay, you know, and I hate to keep calling it stress, but it's okay to have that stress.
And I'll interject here to say, maybe it's not okay with you. Maybe, you know, it gets into this, which we'll talk about on another show, the difference between accepting something and approving of something. You know, those are two very different things. I accept that I'm scared about this. I don't approve of it. I wish I wasn't, and I hope that I can someday get over it. But at this point, in this moment, with these circumstances, whether I should or shouldn't be, I'm scared. And what's interesting about these distraction pain syndromes, assuming there's not a whole lot of replicated double-blind studies done on these issues, so assuming that they're correct in the theories, it's not about even telling anybody else that we're scared. In your case, talking about fear. It's more about just not denying it to ourselves. It seems like that's what is generating the tension. When we, it's not about you have to go tell everybody in the world, hey, guess what, I'm really scared about everything. It's about just not hiding it from ourselves.
Now, I'm curious, has there been, you've told me that just acknowledging the fact that fear is there can help and has helped me eliminate some of the pain. Are there studies out there that it's because the subconscious works?
You know, that's something, I don't know if there are or not. That's something we're going to be looking into, and hopefully we'll get some interviews with people who have a lot of experience in that area. Because quite honestly, you know, I think the principles that John Sarno lays out and people are about tension myositis syndrome and distraction pain syndromes, they seem valid. In my 20 years of experience, I've seen it be helpful to people over and over again dramatically. But that's really not science yet. Those still aren't hard studies to really show, you know, double-blind studies where both the patients and the therapists and the doctors, everybody's blinded to try to find out what is going on. I think they're on the right track, and I think as time goes on, we're going to get more evidence because more and more people are seeing such dramatic difference. And the reason why they think it's some type of distraction that's going on is because once people start to become more aware of this process and become educated about it, you see the symptoms start to drop just from being educated about it. I mean, I can't tell you how many patients that I've had who have come in and they've had an MRI with a herniated disc, and just by telling them, you probably know that there are many people with herniated discs who don't have pain, right? You understand that. most people have no clue. And just by knowing that, they'll say, oh my gosh, you mean it's possible that my disc isn't what's causing the pain? And just in that, over a course of a couple of weeks, you'll see people's symptoms diminish because they didn't have the full facts about what their pain, what might be triggering their pain. I'm in some ways, I'm kind of a pain skeptic, I guess. Now, I'm not skeptical that people have pain, but I'm skeptical sometimes about the reasons that people think they have pain. Because sometimes we attribute, just like you know, you kept thinking, well, I must have lifted something wrong today. That's why my back flared up again. But over time, you started to see, you know, this is more correlated to my tension than it is to what I'm doing physically. Well, I think this is going to bring the close to this this episode of this podcast. Jim, I got a feeling we're going to be talking to you again because we could go on for a long time because, again, your symptoms, the way you process stress, those things are very common, I think, for probably people who are listening. And if you take away anything from what we talked about today, maybe just experiment and do some research on the internet, seeing that correlation, and try for a couple days when you, instead of saying I'm really stressed, change that. Take out the word stress for a couple days and insert the word fear or anger. Just play with one and see if that takes you inside yourself to learn anything more. And another thing to be interesting is to be aware of how do you, if you come up with something that you are scared, how do you feel about that? Do you think you shouldn't be? Do you think you should change it? And just that, even that curiosity about what's going on within yourself, that in and of itself can actually reduce tension as long as you're not trying to say, well, I've got to change it. So, well, thanks a lot. That's the end of another episode, and we'll see you next week. Hey, everyone. This is John Gifford, and I hope you enjoyed listening to this episode of The Relaxed Back. Feel free to email me with your questions or comments. I would love to hear from you. All previous episodes, as well as our contact information, can be found at therelaxedback.com or by searching The Relaxed Back in iTunes. This podcast is sponsored and owned by my company, MotionWise, which is devoted to helping people reduce muscular pain and tension by providing hands-on muscle care, educational trainings, and self-help resources such as my book, The Relaxed Back. Visit MotionWise.com to learn more about our services or to have me speak to your company, convention, or institution. Till next time, stay loose!